Well, good evening. It's really nice to be with you tonight. I was intended to be here back in March before all the craziness happened, but the craziness happened, and so I wasn't able to be with you. But I am glad to be now. I've been asked tonight to share my testimony with you, which I'm really excited for. I'm always excited to talk about what God's done with me, because it just blesses me every time I do. But he asked me to share my testimony and give a brief devotion along with that, and then at the end, a very brief update on what's been going on with FBH. Now, I'll start with three Bible verses, and these are one's a key verse in my coming to faith, and then there's two verses that have been really special to me as of late. So the first is Jeremiah 29:11. I'm sure it's well known to many of us. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then two other verses from Proverbs. One, Proverbs 16, verse 9. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And then Proverbs 19:21, and you'll probably start to see a theme developing here. Many are the plans in the heart of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And so, like I said, one of these verses was instrumental in me coming to faith. It wasn't my salvation verse. We'll get to that in a little bit, but it played a big part. Now, whenever I give my testimony, there's always that awkward moment of, where do I start? How far back in my life do I go? And today I have a very special way to start this, is that I can say, well, I was born 41 years ago today. Today is my birthday. And I didn't want to speak up because it would have stolen my opening joke. I grew up in a very loving family. I was raised in the Roman Catholic Church. And I took bits and pieces out of what was taught there. I learned how to be a good person and that God wants me to be a good person. So I had some understanding of who God was, but I can't, to my recollection, ever remember hearing the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ being taught or being told to me. When I was in grade 11, I had that crisis of faith that made me back away from the Catholic Church and really from God altogether. It was in religion class, and I remember it very distinctly. One of my classmates, we were talking about Adam and Eve in the lesson, and one of my classmates raised a question about how is this possible? How can a serpent speak, and how can all of this be true? It seems so far-fetched, so made up. And our teacher, who was a nun in the Catholic Church, Sister Luke, she answered, well, when we read the Bible, we have to understand that there's historical truth and then there's religious truth. And this is a case of religious truth. So I'm 15, 16 years old. I'm about 5 years removed from conversations about certain Christmas characters and Easter characters. And now I'm led to believe that the Bible, that Adam and Eve and possibly even God and Jesus fall into that same category. They're just interesting stories that are meant to teach us how to be good people. And I remember that it was from that moment that I really stopped believing in anything. I still went to the Catholic school because I was there, and by that time my parents had actually said once we turned 16 we were allowed to decide for ourselves if we wanted to continue going to church, so that made that decision easier for me, and that was basically it. I went to college, and I had this idea from high school that what I wanted to do is I wanted to make television and movies. That's what I wanted to do. And I was fortunate that our high school had a TV studio in it. It was one of the classes that they offered, so I took it up through high school. And I was accepted into Niagara College for broadcasting. And I thought, everything's going great. College years were a little wild. and I'll, if you forgive me, I'll gloss over all of the bad things that I got into. Just know there was a lot of them. I had my problems, my addictions, and things like that. I really don't care to relive them. But one thing that really happened is that, and I hadn't anticipated this because it wasn't there at the high school level, but at the college level it certainly was. When you're in an arts program, people can be weird, and people can do weird things, and they can teach weird things, and they can act in weird ways. And for me, at the time that I was in college, one thing that was really making a resurgence in Western culture was Eastern culture. This idea of Zen and Buddhism and finding the path to spiritual enlightenment and things like that. And I became, I won't say a follower of that, because I don't think I ever actually believed it. I think I was just doing it because it was cool, or at least I thought it was cool. But I graduated and I left all that behind, and I struggled to find work. Contrary to popular belief, there's not a lot of jobs available in the media industry, especially not in Canada. So I looked at it, and I looked at a couple of options that I had. I was applying for a job with a nature videography company up in northern Alberta, and looked like a good prospect for me. I was ready to pack up and leave, and that didn't pan out. And then I had a cousin who worked on a cruise ship and thought, this is a great job. You're at sea for 8 months a year, and then you come back and you just have to find a place for 4 years, and you go back at sea and you live on the cruise ship. But they were looking for people to do their sound and staging and lighting, and so I thought about that. And as I was thinking about these things, a friend of mine who I went to college with called me, and his dad owned a small television post-production company in St. Catharines. And he said, we had our audio guy quit on us, and we've got a shoot this weekend. Can you jump in? Can you do that for us? So I said, sure, I've got nothing else to do. So I went and I did that job, and they liked my work, and so they ended up hiring me full-time. And so I started working with them. Now, the interesting thing about this, and this is really where I say the journey kind of started, is this forced me to move out to St. Catharines from Hamilton. I was born and raised in Hamilton, Ontario. And the first thing that happened is that this company I was working for, one of their clients was another film company in St. Catharines called Cloud 10 Pictures. Now, Cloud 10 Pictures does Christian movies. And what our job with at the studio was to do all of their trailers, all of their little previews that they put together on DVDs. And so it was really good. It was, you know, you're working with movies. And it was my first exposure to the gospel. And I can remember clearly my response to it is that myself and my friend who got me the job just laughed at it. We thought, this is just pure silliness, you know, just nonsense. At the same time, just to give a bit of a backstory, I was a big hockey player growing up. Played competitive hockey in Hamilton, moved out to St. Catharines, stopped, but I wanted to get back into it, wanted to play in a men's league. And I couldn't find one in St. Catharines, so I told my dad about it, and my dad says, well, I'll look around. He found one in Hamilton. And he called me up, he said, I got a deal for you. We found a hockey league in Hamilton. They play Saturday nights late. So if you make a deal with me that you'll come and you'll have dinner with Mom and I, then we'll pay for you to play hockey on Saturday nights. I said, done. Food and hockey. This doesn't get much better. Well, it meant nothing to me at the time, but when I registered for the league was called Reach Forth Sports. And some people are chuckling already, so you can see where this is going. It was a gospel outreach sports league, and this was their hockey. And so we would get together, and we would play a game of hockey. And then after the game, both teams would congregate in one of the dressing rooms, and someone would share a gospel message. And I tried everything I could to get out of that. They told me it was mandatory for playing in the league that you had to sit in on this. And I even tried going back and saying, well, I'm actually a Buddhist, and so I can't sit in on it. I said, no, you gotta sit in anyway. Time went on, and I'm completely rejecting the gospel at this time. I have no time for God. I have no time for anything. At the same time, I'm trying to make it in the television industry, and at an entry-level position, basically what that means, you're working 6 days a week, 16 hours a day. And so my life basically consisted of going to work, staying there for 16 hours, leaving, usually stopping off at a bar somewhere for wings and a drink, then going home, sleeping, getting up in the morning, wash, rinse, repeat. I was depressed. I was lonely. I honestly can say I didn't even care about my life anymore. So we get a deal at the studio for another movie, and this time we're going to be shooting the whole movie. So this is huge for us. And it's a movie called Home Beyond the Sun. And the movie is about overseas adoption. This woman goes to China to teach the kids there, and she meets a young girl, and she wants to eventually adopt her and bring her back. I won't give the plot away. I won't give any spoilers for it. But I was tasked with writing the script for the behind-the-scenes feature. This was a huge break for me. But there was one problem. I knew nothing about kids or adoption. I knew absolutely nothing about the Bible or Christianity other than, the stuff that I had heard in these trailers that we had worked on. So Google became my best friend. And I typed in overseas Christian adoption. And the first site that came up had in big banner across the top of the page, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Thoughts for peace and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." And I said, "I don't have that." And I thought, that was the first time that a Bible verse struck me in a way that really got me starting to think about things. I wasn't ready to believe. I wasn't ready to convert. But it stuck with me. And it kept coming back. And every time I did something, this thought was there, that there's this verse that's talking about a future and a hope and how much I actually really want that. Things went downhill for me. A little bit of a side story here. I would quite often stand on my balcony where I was living, just looking down. That's how far I'd gotten. Now, years later, my mom told this story to my wife years later, and I'm just going to share it with you now because it just, when she didn't actually even tell me, my mom didn't tell me this, Corrine, my wife, told me this, and it just blessed my socks off. So I was saved on January 11th, 2004. I was 24 years old. The Christmas before that, I had gone home, and my mom knew something was wrong. Now, my mom wasn't raised Roman Catholic. My mom was, I joke with her, I say she was raised Church of the Proximity. When her family moved to Canada from Scotland, they settled in Hamilton, and my grandfather, like a true Scotsman, didn't want to waste gas driving to the Anglican church, which was all the way across town. So wherever they lived, they went to whatever church was closest that they could walk to, Church of the Proximity. So my mom was Baptist. My mom had been United for a time. It wasn't until she got married to my dad that she became a Catholic. But she had had more of a background with the gospel and with the Bible teaching. But she knew, as a mother always knows, right, that something was not right with me. And the way she told it to Corrine, she said, "I knew something was wrong with him, and all I knew was that I could not help him. I could not help him." So she said, when I went back to St. Catherine's after my Christmas break, she prayed for me. Just prayed that God would do something. The next time I called her was on January 13th to tell her that I had become a Christian. I can't make that up. I'm tingly just thinking about it. But I want to go back to January 11th. Out of the blue, for no reason at all, well, there is a reason, but at the time I couldn't see a reason. I woke up on that Sunday morning And the only thought going through my head, I have to go to church today. I have to go to church today. And I didn't know what church to go to. I knew I wasn't going back to the Catholic Church, but I didn't know what church to go to. So I got in my car and I just started driving almost aimlessly around St. Catherine's. And as I was driving by Scotley Gospel Chapel, I saw a sign outside, and the sign said that the meeting started at 11 o'clock. I glanced at the clock. It was 10:45. I said, good enough. And I cranked the wheel, and I went in there. I get out of the car. I go in, and the first person that's standing there when I go in is Brian Stapley. Now, one of Brian's friends, someone that him and his wife had been ministering to, was actually being baptized that day. So I walk in the door. He sees me. He can tell that I've never been there before, probably could tell that I'd never been to any church before. And he looks right at me and he says, oh, are you here for the baptism? Let's just back off a bit here. I'm here. And so he laughed at that. And it was actually his son, Joel, that walked me around the chapel and showed me where everything was and sat with me. And the preacher who I still have a good relationship with today, was Jim Paul. And so I'll get to my salvation verse here, and it's probably not a salvation verse that most people have, but this is what really dialed it in for me. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. And I heard him speak on that, and I wasn't really listening to everything he said. I was focusing on that verse, and I left that meeting, and I got in my car to drive back to my apartment. I thought, wow, that guy who wrote the Bible like 2,000 years ago, he really pegged our society. That's exactly what everyone's like. And I got home, and I'm still unsettled, and probably around 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I look up at the clock and I realize I was supposed to have left for my hockey game an hour ago, but I was still thinking about this. And then it just hit me just like that. That's me. I'm all these things. He was writing about me. And now I've got a big problem. Because that's me. And now all of a sudden, all these gospel messages that I had heard over the years, and you know, people listening to Kirk Cameron and Left Behind talking about, you know, how even if we've broken one commandment, if we've lied once, we're a liar and we need Jesus for salvation. All of a sudden, all of these came rushing back in. And I just realized that I need this. Wow, do I need this? So I went back that evening, and I honestly don't remember what Jim was speaking on in the evening. I was still stuck on this. For the sake of time, I won't read it, but I wrote a journal that night. And I always used to hold that my salvation date was January 13th, the following Tuesday. I went to their prayer meeting, which I'd never been in a meeting like that before. And afterwards, another man from the assembly sat with me, and he went through John chapter 3 with me, and he explained it all, and he just looked at me and he said, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I think I know what I need to do. And he said, well, do it then. And so I prayed there, and that was when I professed audibly salvation. But as I went back years later and I read this one journal entry that I made, I realized that I actually believed in Jesus on the Sunday. So it was really fascinating for me to go back and see that story. I believed in my heart on Sunday, and I professed with my mouth the following Tuesday. And I was zealous after that. I wanted everybody to be saved. I went after my dad like an atomic bomb. And really, for 5 years, we couldn't talk. We couldn't talk about religion because I would aggravate him so much, pushing and pushing and pushing. Thankfully, God taught me grace. and taught me patience. And I can thankfully say that both my parents are believers in Christ for salvation today. And I'm so thankful for that. But it was still a struggle. Those first 5 years after being saved were still a struggle. Some of my addictions, gone next day. A miracle. Some of them stuck with me. And what made it worse is that, let's face it, there's not a lot of people walking in off the street these days and getting saved. And so I had become somewhat of a local celebrity among the area assemblies as this guy who walked in off the street and got saved. And so anytime I would go to one of our quarterly meetings and see people from one of our neighboring chapels, they would make a big deal of me. And I thought, you know, I'm going to leave here tonight and I'm going to struggle with this thing that I've been struggling with. And I'm probably going to succumb to it. And there was a part of me that was so fearful of people thinking I was a fraud. People who had, you know, they were so excited to see me saved. I didn't want to let them down that I refused to go and ask anyone for help. And so I struggled with those things. And it was a long time before I was able to confide in someone, another brother, and work through these things. And thankfully, I don't have any of those problems now. So again, that was in 2004. I was 24. 6 years later, I should say right after that, I ended up quitting my job at the studio. I felt that it wasn't for me. The demands that they were putting on me for my time, you know, they were restricting me from where I felt I should be. And so I left. And when I left, I said, I'm never going back to the media industry. We'll get to that. So I started working in sales, a company in Burlington that made parts for water treatment equipment, and it was going very well. I worked there for about 5 years, and I was promoted to the manager of my department. And then from there, I worked another 7 years. In that time, I met my wife. I met her online, christianmingle.net or com or one of those things. And I won't share the story tonight, but it was actually a small miracle in how that actually happened. I like to joke and say she gave me the wrong directions. I read the directions wrong. And so she was from Rochester, and I went to the wrong park that I was supposed to meet her at the first time. And by the grace of God, she was patient with me. And I was able to borrow some stranger's cell phone and call her, and she found the mix-up, and she met me. And we were engaged 3 months later, and then married a year after that, which would have been sooner, but we wanted to make immigration happy. But I've been truly blessed by that. And God, you know, God provides everything we need. He knew exactly who I needed for a wife. And we have four adorable, sometimes wild children that keep us busy, very, very busy. So things were going good. We were involved in ministries at the chapel. We were involved in camp ministry and youth work, and it was great. And I think it was about March of 2008, at our Sunday meeting, a letter was read from Ron Hughes. And the letter talked about how he was thankful for our support of the FBH ministry, and how he was planning to retire. And so if anyone knew anyone that would be interested in taking over the radio ministry, the media ministry, to give him a call. I didn't even hear it. After that meeting, Arnett McEntee comes up to me. And he says, "Stephen, you went to school for broadcasting, didn't you?" I said, "Yes, Arnett, I did." He said, "Mohawk College?" "No, I went to Niagara." "Oh, even better." He said, "Well, you heard the announcement today about FBH." And of course, Arnett has a long history with Family Bible Hour as one of their first broadcasters and presidents. So it's a very dear ministry to him. So he says, "You know, you heard the announcement. Would you consider taking that responsibility on going and working for that ministry?" I said, "Arnett, no, I wouldn't consider it. I left the media industry. I have no desire to go back." He says, "Well, will you pray about it? And after you've prayed about it, just give it some thought. Maybe call Ron and see what it's all about." I said, "Arnett, you know I can't say no to you. So I'll do that. And he says, good, because I've already given Ron your name. So I talk to Ron, and you know, I do this. It's a really silly thing that I still tend to do sometimes. I kind of challenge God. And I say, I'm going to meet with Ron to talk about this. And I'm praying about it. And I say, okay, God, if this is meant to be, if this is where you want, I need this, this, and this, and this to all fall into place. And of course it does. And so that summer I started at FBH International as a operations tech. And then Bobby started at the same time as me, but for certain circumstances that were beyond everyone's control, Bobby couldn't stay with the ministry. And so he left, and I had been there for about a year, and Ron had graciously stayed on and continued in the president's role. And then finally he said, I want to retire. And so he talked to the board, and he came to me after a board meeting, and he said, we've talked to the board, and I want to retire. You're the new president. Have a nice day. Great. And then, so that happened last year. And then, of course, my first challenge in the ministry, as if you watch the conference, would know, was a global pandemic. So, but it's really made me think a lot lately. And this is where those two passages from Proverbs come to light, about God knowing we make our plans. We have the things that we want. But God ultimately knows where we're going to end up. He ultimately knows what he has in store for us. And sometimes we go through the Bible and we think, what Bible character do I relate to the most? And, you know, oftentimes it's Peter. I think there's a lot of Peters in all of us. But lately I've been looking at Moses. And now Moses is a... that's a lofty, you know, to think of Moses leading the people out of Israel. I'm not looking at that so much as I look at Moses, and here's a guy, a Hebrew baby that's born, and he's put in a basket, and that basket is found by the Pharaoh's daughter, and he grows up in the Pharaoh's house for 40 years. But then he leaves that, you know, and Hebrews even tells us that he rejected being called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter. You know, he runs away from that. And he goes out into the wilderness. And of course, he spends 40 years in the wilderness herding sheep. And that's going to come back for him later too. But as I thought about this, I think, why would God do that? Why would he set it up that way? And then the thought struck me. Here's Moses, a Hebrew, no more than a slave, really, to the Egyptians, even though he never actually worked as a slave, but he was a Hebrew. Once he left the Pharaoh's household, he's just like all the rest. And I thought, how many Hebrews were given an audience, a repeated audience with Pharaoh? And I thought, you know, here's Moses. We know he's growing up and he's learning governance and he's learning leadership in the Pharaoh's household, but he's also gaining familiarity because God had a plan for Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. And part of that plan involved Moses going to Pharaoh. And I can't help but think that familiarity that Moses had with Pharaoh growing up, being in his household, played a big part in Pharaoh allowing him to come in and speak to him in a familiar manner. God knew what he was doing the whole time. And so when I look at myself and I think, you know, I went through, I had this desire, even before I was saved, I had this desire to work in media. And God allowed me to do that, and he allowed me to get my diploma in that, and he allowed me to learn that. And then even though I said, I'm done with this, God didn't have me go through media production and broadcasting school so that I could make a name for myself, so that I could make a living like that. God knew that one day I would be working in a media ministry. And so he was preparing me even before I knew his son. And what a blessing is that to think. You know, and we read Ephesians. We read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works, which God has prepared beforehand. Now, I don't want to get into a debate of God's sovereignty and free will and you know, predestination and all that. I'm a simple person, and I'm gonna take the path of the blind man in John's gospel. All I know is that this is where I am, and God prepared me for that. And how he did that, how he worked all that out, I don't know. All I know is that he did it. All I know is that I'm saved because I've put my faith in his son, Jesus. Whether that was foreordained, whether that was, whether I had the choice in doing that, I don't know. All I know is that I know his son, and I have the salvation of his son, and that's good enough for me. What a blessing it's been for me to know the Lord for these past 17 years now. A huge blessing. And I want to use this as an encouragement to us all, because we all go through difficult times. This year especially. I call it crazy, but people are suffering this year. People we know are suffering this year. Different things that are out of our control. I firmly believe that God is preparing us for one of those works that he's prepared for us beforehand. God has a work prepared for us. His Bible tells us that. But we also know that he will equip us for every good work. He will provide everything we need in order to accomplish that work that he's set out for us. And that's just a huge blessing. And that's why we can take joy in sufferings. That's why we can be patient in tribulation, because we know by the power of the Holy Spirit that God is preparing us for something that he wants us to do. Isn't that awesome? Wow. Now I see that I'm chasing the clock here. So I'll switch hats here. But I do really pray and hope that everyone can be encouraged and blessed by that thought that God is preparing you. God has something for you to do, and it doesn't end until we're with him. And even then, I think he's going to have stuff for us to do. And he's preparing us for that. FBH, if you caught our conference, thank you so much for tuning in. It was different this year. Everything's different this year. It was a challenge to put it together. I'll be honest, because we, up until a month ago, we didn't even know if we were going to be doing it by video or if we were going to be able to have it live. So thank you for those who tuned in. I won't share any of the same updates. The conference video is still on our fbhinternational.com website if anyone does want to go check it out. I did say I was going to take it down tomorrow, but I'm going to leave it up for a couple more days. So you'll have a chance to watch that. But some updates that we got that weren't in, either they didn't make it or we didn't have time for them. Ukraine, for people who receive our prayer bulletin, you heard about Nadia. Nadia had a very, very tragic, devastating circumstance in her life. Nadia, Alex and Nadia Pastashak are our producers in Ukraine. They take our programs, they translate them into Ukrainian, they broadcast them throughout the country. They were expecting their second child in September. On September 5th, I think it was, we got an email from Victor, our correspondent with Far East Broadcasting, and just said they lost the baby. Possibly in delivery, possibly just days before delivery, but they lost the baby. And there was a severe health problems with Nadia as well. She had to be hospitalized as a result of it. So to follow up on that, she is recovering. She had to undergo two blood transfusions. But the second one was successful, and she's recovering. She's been released from the hospital. They're at home. They're very thankful for everyone's prayers who have been praying for them. But continue to pray for them. If anyone's lost a child, that's tough. So they're grieving. Their faith is so strong in the Lord. But that's still such a hard thing to go through. So please remember to pray for Alex and Nadia. They are still working. They are still doing the ministry, which is just amazing. And the Ukrainian ministry, it's very interesting. It's bizarre sometimes. This is just a quick testimony from, I got this yesterday from, or sorry, 2 days ago from Victor. And they always provide a testimony of a listener that called in. And this one was from a woman named Lyuba. And she's a mother from Ukraine who was dealing herself with fear after her son's death. He was 45 years old. She said his heart failed from the stress of the war and problems at home. Her other son is alive, but she says, "Now I am haunted by fears for him, especially when I hear a crow cawing." It turns out that Lioba believes that when crows were omens of death, and that their croaks meant that her oldest son was going to die as well. And so they were able to counsel her online, and they were actually able to give her that there's many reasons that crows caw, and none of them are supernatural. And she accepted that, and she says she's faithfully listening, she's in contact with them, and she's receiving the gospel message, and they're working with her, and they're counseling with her. So again, please pray for the work going on in Ukraine. One story from the Arab world. I love Arab world stories. They're just so, again, God doing an amazing work. This is about a man named Hamid in Egypt. Hamid is not his real name. We make these up. But he's a pizza delivery guy. I had to look up pizza in Egypt because I was just curious. And they do have it. And you can get pizza with calamari in Egypt. I don't know if that would be any good. I'm going to stay away from it. But anyway, Hamid's a pizza delivery guy. He drives one of these old-fashioned motorcycles with the pizza box on the back. And so he's driving this thing through the streets of Egypt, and he gets hit by a car while he's driving it. Throws him off the bike. He breaks both of his legs in the accident. So he's on the ground. The guy gets out of the car, and the guy who gets out of the car is dressed. He can tell that he's a religious leader from the local mosque. And he comes up, and he stands over Hamid and just starts to yell at him. He says, "You're stupid. Don't ever ride your motorcycle in these streets again." And then he just gets back in his car, and he drives away. And a bystander saw it all. They called the ambulance. They took Hamid to the hospital. Hamid got his legs patched up and went home. And he got home, and he told his wife about this, and he said, "I can't believe that a leader, a Muslim leader, a religious leader, would treat me this way. I'm never going to the mosque again." And she said, no, don't say that. You have to go. Maybe there was a reason for it. Maybe go back." And he says, "No, I hate the mosque. I hate Islam. I'm never going back to it." And so he also began living as an atheist in Egypt until he had a dream. And again, I won't make any comment on the source of the dream. All I know is that he had a dream, and this dream prompted him to contact our responders in Egypt and ask about Jesus. And he did that, and they've been in touch with him, and they've been meeting with him. And Hamid is a believer, and he's being put in touch with a local church in his community. God's at work through the work of FBH and through our partners. In English, please pray for us. We dropped the hint in our conference that we're moving into video now, which is partially because that was my wheelhouse in college. That's what I know more than radio, but also because 500 million hours of video are watched every day just on YouTube. 500 million hours. And there's a lot of Christian material on YouTube, but what we noticed when we were watching a lot of it is that there's a lot of Christian living. There's a lot of discipleship. There's a lot of Bible study. There's not a lot of gospel being presented over the internet on YouTube. So that is what we are planning to do. Our first series is Meeting Jesus Through the Gospel of John, and we hope to start production on that very soon. And we're also going to be running another series at the same time called Misconceptions, which is going to be tackling some of the misconceptions that people have about God, about Christianity, and using those to draw people to what Christians actually do believe, and more importantly, why we believe it, and why everyone needs to believe it. So pray for us as we get into preparations for that. If there's going to be a lot of work, there's going to be a lot of late nights, I'm sure. Pray for my wife and my kids, because they have to put up with me when I'm stressing out and pacing all over the house trying to think about how to do something, which I tend to do. But pray for us. Pray for Deborah, our ministry support coordinator. Deborah's been through a really rough time these last few months with her mother, who's been very sick and has now had to move into an assisted living home. So pray for her. She's been going through a lot. She's been going through a lot of trouble with her family as well through this time. Her family are not believers, and so that's just made this whole situation difficult as her siblings are kind of fighting with her over what's going to happen to the estate. And Deborah doesn't she just wants to move on and get back to work, but she can't because she's the power of attorney. So pray for Deborah, pray for all of us at the ministry, and please go check out our conference, find our YouTube channel. It's one great way that you can help with us is to like and subscribe on our videos when they come up on our YouTube channel. That just helps us grow our reach. The more popular your videos are, the more likely they're going to be shared randomly with other people, and that's what we're really hoping for. So yeah, thank you so much again for the opportunity to be here to share with you. Again, I'm always blessed. I'm so happy to see so many faces that aren't on a screen, and just share the encouragement that God has brought me in my life with you in the hopes that God will encourage you also in your lives and what you find yourselves going through. So let's just close in prayer. Father in heaven, you are so, so good to us. Father, we come before you now the only way we can, in the name of your precious Son. And Father, we thank you for him. We thank you as I have recounted how I met him. I thank you for that. I thank you for every moment that every person has when they encounter Jesus for the first time, Father. That sense of joy that he brings in knowing him. Father, we thank you for sustaining us. We thank you that even in those dark times and those challenges that we go through, we know that you're with us. We know that he's with us. Father, we pray for the works that you have prepared for us. We pray, Father, that you would help us to recognize them when we see them. And more importantly, Father, that by your Spirit you would help us to act upon that and to do your work. Father, we know that you will provide everything we need. And we pray that you would help us to move forward in faith and to do those things that you would have us do. Father, we thank you for these gatherings. We thank you for the body. We thank you for the church, the encouragement that we gain from one another. We thank you that your Spirit is alive in each member of the body. And we pray, Father, that by that Spirit you would help us to shine our lights, that the whole world would know who Jesus is. We thank you, Father, for FBH and the ministry. We thank you for all of our partners, for those who have faithfully proclaimed your gospel for years and years. And we thank you, Father, for all the glory that you have received by people coming to faith in your Son through hearing your word. What a joy it is to be a part of that, Father. We thank you again in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.